it. But I think actually in simple practical terms that it's much more uncomfortable for Arlene to be laughed at than to be argued with.
So therefore, she might take that on board, the embarrassment that sort of goes with that sort of humour, as opposed to any fear of being talked down by opponents.
Well, she's pretty robust. You know, she's pretty robust. I don't think that, you know, I don't think she will crumble personally under the weight of it. In some ways, I think that's part of the problem. In some ways, you know, I mean, somebody who, I mean, Arlene Foster's political career goes back to the days of David Trimble, when she felt she was sidelined by Trimble and she was not opponent then of the Good Friday Agreement. And so she has, you know, she has thrived by being dogged, hard-headed, you know, being absolutely firm in what she wanted and ploughing on regardless of what anyone was saying about her. So somebody like that, somebody with that particular gift, if you like, might find it very difficult to see when the moment has come not to do that, you know, to be a wee bit more yielding, you know, and I think that's part of the problem.
Now, she's got a meeting with the most senior people within the DUP behind closed doors today. And is that her telling them how it's going to be? Or might they be saying, listen, Ms. Foster, maybe, just maybe?
Who do you think among them would have the courage to put their hand up and say, excuse me, just a minute? You know, do you not think maybe there's a point here? I don't think any of them is. I mean, I could be wrong. But, I mean, Arlene has, for instance, she was talking to the impartial reporter. She did a recorded interview with them, and she's emphatic that she's not standing aside. So were she to come out of that meeting and say something like, well, I've thought this through, and maybe after all, you know, maybe they have a point. You know, that would be such a humiliation for her. I think this is part of, you know, this is a badly managed crisis when compared to some of the previous ones, in that both sides, Sinn Féin and Arlene Foster, the DUP, have dug in so deep that they've left themselves very little room to get away from, to get back from this.
So she doesn't stand down, then obviously Sinn Féin walk away.
Well, if you take Gerry Adams at his word, you know, but even then, you know, there was some, you know, the language was fudging it a little. He didn't absolutely say if she doesn't stand down. It was if she doesn't take the actions necessary, you know, and that, you know, there's room to parse that. But Sinn Féin have a problem. Sinn Féin's problem is that when they, in December, went for the softer option of not supporting the no confidence vote in Arlene, and going for the softer option of asking her to step aside for a while, which they saw as in some measure a concession to her. When they did that, they were hammered on social media by their own followers. I mean, there is a disaffection among Sinn Féin supporters. They have not liked seeing Martin McGuinness shaking hands with the Queen, posing beside a portrait of the Queen. They, you know, they feel that, you know, they went into this as equals with the DUP, and that they would get things like the Irish Language Act and get legacy issues sorted out. And they haven't got those things. They've, you know, they've little to show for it. And Arlene has been conducting herself like a prime minister. Arlene, the last election, she fought that election on the basis, you know, vote for me. You know, it wasn't almost a DUP thing. It was vote for Arlene, because Arlene can prevent Martin McGuinness from being first minister. So that was the wrong note, you know, to strike with the Sinn Féin base. I mean, they see that as humiliation. They see that as potentially you're just back to a one-party stormont with one in charge, and nationalists or Republicans picking up the crumbs from the table. And that's not what they started out looking for. So I think Gerry Adams has got a problem with the Republican base, and he's got a problem also with People Before Profit and other parties that can come along and whittle away that Sinn Féin vote. So I think he needs to be quite firm here.
And by being firm, he may have the thought process that there's division within unionist ranks. Get an election now and we could have a first minister who would be from the Sinn Féin party.
I think that's highly unlikely. Do you not? I mean, I don't think, I mean, yes, there's division in unionist ranks, but I mean, when the election comes around, that is, you know, they will play that card again. They will just say, you have to keep Sinn Féin out of office here, or out of the First Minister's post. They've got the numbers, you know, and it's hard to see that they wouldn't maintain those numbers. They also go into an election now. The next one is 5 seats per constituency instead of 6. So those MLAs who get in on the 6th vote, last time round, and that's true of a substantial number of the SDLP ones. They'll just fall off the back of the horse, you know, and so you'll have a very different assembly after this next election, if we do have this election.
Do you think we'll have one?
I do, and I don't, because I don't see how they're going to get out of this one. There are things that can, you know, the things that can happen between now and next week, which may change the feel of events here. Who knows? But at the moment, we're on a course. You see, Adams has pitched this thing harder than just solving the RHI one. He's saying the whole issue now is that Republicans are not being treated as equals. And that suggests that what he wants is to get back into another talks process and deal with things like the Irish Language Act and the legacy issues and so on. What he will need, you know, a very simple thing, very cheap thing, £50,000 is all it'll cost, but that LEAFA fund to help disadvantaged kids get off to the Gaeltacht to study Irish that Paul Given cut before Christmas, that provides a kind of a token gesture that the DUP could make that shows some respect. They could restore that. And Adams has worked games like that before. Go back to the very beginning in 94, you know, when they had the very first talks at Stormont. He came back to Connolly House and he stood in the steps of Connolly House and he said, if we're to see a symbol or a sign of good faith, then it will be the provision of funding for, I think it was Bunskull na Héireann at that time. You know, it was for an Irish language school which had previously been denied funding.
But to get a 50 grand, but you know, to get a 50 grand Gaeltacht scholarship's not going to get him off the hook.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a symbolic gesture of good faith. But I think what Adams wants, and what a lot of the Sinn Féin base want, is to revisit the whole Good Friday agreement architecture and change it fundamentally, or just withdraw from it. Now, the problem there, is, in part, is we're also facing into Brexit. You had Theresa May saying yesterday, no, it'll be a total leaving of the European Union. That's the end of any speculation about it being about staying inside the single market. You know, whenever she's asked about whether there will be a hard border in Ireland, she just says, well, I wouldn't want that. But, I mean, that's not a guarantee that it won't happen. What you need now is you're going to have Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland arguing very, very fiercely for what she calls differentiation, that is specific terms for Scotland that don't take Scotland right out of the European Union. Now, whatever Nicola Sturgeon manages to achieve for Scotland is the kind of thing that we should be looking for here. But to get that, you need a coherent leadership in Northern Ireland, which will join with Nicola Sturgeon in that argument, and we don't have it, and we're likely, when Article 50 is called and the negotiations get started, we're likely to have political turmoil here, and James Brokenshire, the Secretary of State, being the only person to speak up for Irish interests and the prevention of a hard border, and I don't hold out much hope of that making any radical change for us.
Malachy, you are cheering us up no end on a cold Monday morning. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
All the very best, Frank.
Malachy O'Doherty.